Oh, well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. What a beautiful, beautiful day in the house, isn't it? Well, I have the pleasure, the absolute joy of even having my mom here for Mother's Day, which is very rare. She lives in St. Catharines, which is very far. We rarely get to spend Mother's Day together. So I just want to start today by honoring you, Mom. You are the greatest mom anyone could have ever been given. I feel blessed every day of my life having you as a mom. And I know I've told you this many, many times. Everything I've ever learned from being a mom has come from you. And I love you so much. Happy Mother's Day. So love having my mom with me this weekend. And I do want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of the moms in the house. But I also want to acknowledge right at the onset of the service today, of the message today, that Mother's Day and Father's Day can be complicated days for many, many reasons. Loss, difficult relationships. There's lots of things that can make this day complicated. And I just want to acknowledge that if that is the case for you. And I also just want to remind you that God is, and that God is always working. He's always at work in your story. Now, some of you last year in the fall took a moment to plant a tulip bulb in remembrance of a loved one that had passed. And I just want to thank you for those of you who were able to participate in that, who took a moment to do that. But I also just want to remind you that the tulips are in full bloom. And our remembrance garden is just out the doors in the front there. And if you planted a bulb or if you lost a loved one recently, you may just want to take a moment of pause, a moment of remembrance, and just remember that God is with you. You know, there's many beautiful, beautiful saints who are not with us today who have passed over this last year. We remember Yuta and Marcia. But also, we want to let you know that we have a celebration of life service this Thursday, May 14th, for Diane Hogan, a beloved member of the Life Center family who we miss greatly. And her husband, Mark, and their family would like to extend an invitation to you this Thursday, May 14th, right here at Life Center at 10 a.m. To celebrate along with the family and remember Diane. We love her very much and we're going to miss her. Well, the message today, we're going to focus on a portion of scripture that comes from the book of Joel. That's where we're reading in our Heartstrong reading, as well as a portion of scripture from the book of Acts. And Joel is a generational book. It's only three chapters long, and it starts from what might be described as parental language. Now, every child has heard their mom say some version of, "Listen, you have to listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I am telling you." And it's particularly hard to listen when things get loud. I mean, everyone describes the world as loud now. Phones and societal pressure. Everything feels loud and noisy. But noise can be beautiful too, can't it? The noise of children playing, the noise of laughter, the noise of music, even the crying that comes out of reconciliation or repentance, the noise of prayer, the noise of victory. Well, the book of Joel begins in a very noisy, loud season, but it's a season of disaster. A plague of locusts has devastated the land, and Joel begins by saying this to the elders with a generational purpose in mind. In Joel chapter 1, verse 2, this is what he says. "Hear this, you elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land." Now, how many would consider themselves an elder in this room? I know Pastor Rhonda's not raising her hand to that question. Even though we're not that far in age, I do consider myself an elder because I turned 52 yesterday. So I feel like that qualifies me as somewhat of an elder. Now, I know, God willing, I still have many years ahead of me, but I also have many, many years behind me. And so if you consider yourself an elder in this room, I want you to, for a minute, give ear to me. Elders, what you say matters. What you do matters. How you live matters. Showing up to church or not showing up to church matters. If you do not give ear to the Lord, then those coming after you have no hope of salvation. You, like many of the prophets of old, may never see in your lifetime the answer to your prayers and cries, but you must remain faithful because an entire generation depends on it. And so what is the difference between hearing and giving ear? Well, every mom gets this all too well. How many times have I called out to one of my kids and they're literally wearing headphones? They have music and loud noise blaring in their ears. Can you please bring the laundry up? Listen, it's time to pick up your toys. You need to finish your homework. Mind your curfew. No, you should not date that person. And Emma, no, you and your friend can definitely not rent a car in a city you've never been through from a random guy that you found on Facebook Marketplace for $40 a day. That is not a good idea. Absolutely not. It is not the hearing. It is not the hearing. The noise comes from your mouth, but what does it actually mean to give ear to something? Well, Joel desires the elders to hear this, elders. Give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Impart heart to the next generation. But what does this actually mean? It means to listen. It means to weigh and consider. It means to respond and take action. Joel 1 verse 3 says, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children tell their children to another generation. Every single one of us has experience with saying something that you know was heard, but it was definitely not listened to. It was definitely not weighed out or considered or responded to. And the more serious, the more vulnerable what was shared, the more pain on the other side of not really being heard. And I wish today that I had 5 easy steps to get you to get people to listen to you, to really give ear to you. But the truth is, I don't. Nobody does. That's outside of our agency. The prophets of old were not able to get people to really listen. And even God does not force us to give ear to him. So let's flip the script for a minute on this message to the only place that we do have agency, power, or choice. And that is, will you yourself give ear to the words written in this book? Will you listen? Will you weigh? Will you respond to what the Lord is speaking to us today? You see, Joel, in the midst of all the noise in the land, in the midst of all the noise, the locusts were loud, the drunkards were weeping, the lament was loud, the priests were mourning, and yet he longs for his people to give ear to the word that the Lord would say. You see, chores and homework and curfew, it can sound like a lot of noise. I don't know if the other moms out there can relate, but sometimes I get tired of the sound of my own voice. I feel like I'm just nagging and yammering on. But behind it all, it's not actually about those things. It's about responsibility. It's about character development, about learning to do the things you don't want to do. And I mean, even as adults, I think we're still learning that lesson. And in this story, in the book of Joel, God is doing all of this, and as well, he's inviting them into a grander story. Joel urges the people in the midst of great disaster to consecrate a fast, to call a solemn assembly, to gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land, of the house of God, and cry out to the Lord. Crying out to the Lord is loud, but it's a noise he longs and loves to hear. And as I meditated on the book of Joel, there was a few verses that stood out to me, particularly in chapter 2. And we're going to go heartstrong style in just a minute. But before we do, there is actually this epic old song from 1987 that was written straight from Joel chapter 2. And maybe if you were in the church in the 80s, maybe you remember it. And I found this video on YouTube that almost like encapsulated exactly how I remember it in the church that I grew up in. And so I'm going to play it. And if you know the song, sing along. Oh, anyone? Anyone remember this one? Come on. Oh yeah, you can't listen to this and not clap. Come on. Do you remember? Anyone? No? Lots of no's. Some yeses, a few. Come on, it's nostalgic. This is bringing you right back. Just wait for it. It gets even better. This is a good one. Pastor Ron, I think we should bring this one back. I love it. Okay, here it goes. This is the climax. The chorus is coming. Oh, a trumpet in Zion. Come on, Janet, you know it. If you were in the church in the 80s, this was such a good one. All right, I think that's good. We took a little walk down memory lane. Such a great song. And my church growing up was exactly like that. Full orchestra, full worship team. It was very epic. Well, the book of Joel reminds us that we can cry out to the Lord with what is heavy on our hearts. And I know that each of us is walking out a different, unfinished part of our story. And the more painful the chapter, the louder it can be. And so I want to ask you, what is heavy on your heart today? What are you crying out to the Lord for today? Would you just allow for a minute the noise of the pain of the things that you are praying for, that you are crying out to God for, that you are believing for, to come up to the surface and offer them to the Lord? Maybe you're believing God for a healing or for the healing of a loved one. Maybe you're believing God for someone who's struggling with addiction or even yourself. Maybe you're believing for a miracle in your marriage or you're praying for your children who are far away from the Lord. Maybe you're believing God for freedom from a bondage, or maybe you're believing God for a baby and you're not able to have one. Maybe you're believing for God to bring you a partner. Maybe it's to restore a relationship in your life. Anybody looking for a job or needing financial breakthrough. Maybe you're carrying unimaginable grief, or maybe you're crying out to the Lord to bring revival to this nation. God, we cry out to you. We cry out from a place of repentance and humility because you and you alone are God, holy in all your ways. And we bring together as a congregation all of the greatest cries of our hearts. And what I want you to do is I want you just to lift up those cries to the Lord as I read these verses from Joel chapter 2. And I want you to see something really powerful, something you can also do on your own at home. That as we lift up these prayers and we lift up these cries to God, how powerful it is to read a portion of scripture along with lifting up the prayer and the cry of our heart. Joel chapter 2 starts, "Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near." Who's believing for a healing, either for yourself or a loved one in this place? Well, verse 11 says, "The Lord utters his voice before his army, and his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful." Anybody believing for breakthrough for addictions? "For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Anyone need a miracle in their marriage today? "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments." Who's praying for their children today? "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." Who's believing for freedom from bondage today? "Blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call the solemn assembly, gather the people." Who's believing for God to open their womb? "Consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even the nursing infants." Are you believing for God to bring a partner into your life to share your life with? "Then the Lord became jealous for his land and he had pity on his people." How about restoration of relationships? "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things." Anybody need a breakthrough in their finances in this place today? Well, listen to what verse 26 says. It says, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame." Anyone carrying unimaginable grief today? Well, verse 27 says, "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there is no one else, and my people shall never again be put to shame." Anyone praying for revival, for God to revive the next generation? Well, verse 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, that your old men will dream dreams and your young men shall see visions, and even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Isn't that the cry of all of our hearts? You see, of all of the prophets, of all of the books of the Bible, God chose Joel to deliver this word that would be prophesied and spoken to this people at this time, yet it was for a time to come. So we fast forward all the way to the book of Acts chapter 2, and we find where this verse actually begins its fulfillment. There were about 120 gathered in the upper room waiting for something to happen. And Jesus instructed them to wait for a baptism, not the same baptism as water baptism, but he said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not too many days from now." And the disciples asked him a fair question. They said, "Will this be when you restore the kingdom to Israel?" I mean, they were still waiting for things to be made right, just I think like we are today. And Jesus answered very clearly. He said, "This is not for you to know." He said basically what my mom often says, and you can steal this line. She says, it's none your business. That's what she says. So you can take that one home. It's a good one. It's a good one. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to the end of the earth." You see, they had no idea what would happen. They didn't know what it was going to look like, what it was going to feel like. They were told to wait. They were told to pray. They were told to cry out to the Lord, to rend their heart, to repent, and they prepared themselves for 50 days. And then a noise began. A noise they didn't even know they were waiting for. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verses 1-4, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then after being filled with the Holy Spirit, what does Peter say? He says, "This is what was uttered by the prophet Joel." He says, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, that your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I want you to repeat that after me. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This marked the beginning of the last days that were prophesied in the book of Joel. And this is the time that we're alive. This is the time we get to be a part of the unfolding story of the kingdom of God that began 2,000 years ago was the beginning of these last days. So it would be safe to assume that we are closer now more than ever. And I don't know about you, but this puts a fire into my spirit to cry out out to the God of heaven to continue to pour out his spirit on all flesh. If you are a son or a daughter in this place, and I know you are, this prophecy is talking about you, that you would prophesy, that our young men and women would see visions and our older men and women would dream dreams. Oh God, would you speak through your people? Would you fall fresh in our day for one purpose alone, that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, life gets loud. Kids fight, schedules conflict, life stages change things. But in the midst of the loudness of life, in both the good and the bad seasons, is the heart of humanity crying out, believing God for something new. And it is one of the greatest honors in an elder's life to remind the next generation of who God is. What we most desire for our children's children's children is that they might call upon the name of the Lord, especially when life gets loud. You see, in all seasons, we trust that God is forever working. In loud seasons, we trust that he's not finished with our stories. The circumstances in Joel's day were very difficult, but God was not finished working. Now, if you were in the house and you were under the age of 30, I would like to invite you to stand up for just a moment. If you were under the age of 30, just stand for a second. I want you to know, if you were under the age of 30, that God is not finished working in your story, that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that we need you. Every generation ahead of you needs you. You may be seated. If you are between the ages of 30 to 60, I want you to stand. I know that's a big group. I know that's a large age. I know that the 30-year-olds are like, wow, you're making me stand with the 60-year-olds. I understand, but please bear with me. We need you. God is not finished working in your story. God has called you for such a time as this, and he is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. And we need you engaged, and we need you pressing into Jesus, because there's a generation coming behind you that is watching you, and there's a generation that is ahead of you that we need to learn from. You may be seated. If you are over the age of 60 in this place, I want you to stand. If you are over the age of 60. Our elder generation, I cannot stress to you enough how much we need you. That God is not finished in your story, that he is still working in your life personally, in the lives of your families, in the lives of your legacy, and we need you. It matters what you do. It matters what you say. You are the ones that are called to testify to the faithfulness of God to every generation, and we need you, and we love you, and we honor you. Thank you. You may be seated as well. You see, Joel wants us to give ear, to impart heart regarding who God forever is and that he is not finished working in our stories. God was faithful to speak to Joel to begin the fulfillment of his word in Acts, which points to the completion of a kingdom to come in the book of Revelations. And I want to read one final scripture from Revelation 7, 9, and 10. And it says this, After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, all peoples, and languages, standing there before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb."